Warning, you are about to listen to the greatest radio show ever. And due to contractual obligations and to shield our airwaves and corporate licensees from any semblance of liability, responsibility, and gullibility, we must tell you the views represented on this show are not necessarily those of this station or its management. This radio show contains differing points of view on current political topics, and due to the nature of its contents, it should be heard by everyone. Thank you for listening. 3, 2, 1. Now live from the Devil Radio Studios in Madison, Wisconsin, where the political party is just beginning. Welcome to the Devil's Advocate Show. Friends proving it's never personal, only politics.
Please allow me to introduce myself.
Here is your host, Mike Crute.
Welcome back to the Devil's Advocates Radio Show, the Trumpy Tuesday edition, the 5 o'clock happy hour. And it's happier still, Dom, when we get to find guests like John Nichols from The Nation. I don't have you in front of me, John. I hope you join us right now. Welcome back to the show.
I think I'm with you both.
All right. Hey, John. Thanks, man.
I can sense you.
You felt a shifting in the force, did you? Do you feel a dark shifting in the force? Donald Trump is coming to rally for Tim Michaels in Waukesha next Friday. It's like the Death Star is coming to our backyard.
You take Trump way too seriously. I don't think it'll be like a Death Star. I think it'll be like actually one of the more interesting circus events in history, because you're going to see former president of the United States, disgraced, disqualified, all such things, try to make an argument for a guy who lives in Connecticut to be the governor of Wisconsin. That's entertaining. I don't know if that's Death Star stuff. That's just fascinating.
Dom's worried about the associated fascism and violence and the...
Oh, well, that's bad. Yeah,
that's bad. That's bad.
Yeah. Well, and if we're going to extend the analogy beyond, John, I think it's the fact that Dom is an Ewok that's got him mostly concerned.
It's not that, John. It's highlighting, you know, the fact that this man, as we speak right now, continues to go unpunished for what he did. Now, seemingly, John, that's picking up, but... You know, my concern is that the longer these guys get away with it, the more it seems like to their followers that this is the way to do it.
That they are invincible, right?
Yes.
Yeah, you don't want poor Tim Michaels to be convinced to behave in this way, right?
Right.
You know, so it's definitely there's a lot of negatives. Look, to be quite honest, and I'll deviate from my lighter fare here to just say, look, you know, there's simply no question that Donald Trump, you know, was the key conspirator in an attempted coup. That's seditious conspiracy at the least, perhaps treason. If we're realistic about it, this is someone who should definitely be prosecuted and should not be allowed ever to hold public office in the United States again. That's a baseline standard we set during the Civil War. It's a standard we set for collaborators with the British during the Revolutionary War. You know, I mean, there are just certain standards that we ought to have as a country, and Donald Trump has crossed them. So anybody who wants his endorsement, right off the bat, is pathetic, right? I mean, we should not be angry at Trump, but be also concerned about the people who actually want to be associated with him, because what they are saying is they don't have a problem with the sort of behaviors that we now know Trump was actively involved in. And I hear people now and again say, oh, well, you know, Donald Trump, he was a good president. He just behaved in some bad ways, right?
Yeah.
Well, with all due respect, you know, I mean, that is about the most absurd argument imaginable, because presidents aren't supposed to be able to do anything without working in collaboration with Congress. The president is an executive, not a king, right? And if you say somebody was good, they just behaved badly, well, that crosses every possible line that you want in a president. So saying all of that and all those reasons why we should be concerned about Donald Trump being in our state, of course, I still am going to go back to the argument that, you know, with all due respect, this rally's got a lot of humor potential. And the number one The number one element of humor potential is that Donald Trump is going to be roughly, I don't know, like a 20-minute drive, 15-minute drive from Robin Voss's state legislative district. And so what I want to know is whether Donald Trump is going to be able to control himself on this Friday night before the primary election, and instead of just talking about Tim Michaels and probably trashing on Rebecca Clayfish and stuff like that and explaining why he isn't backing Ransom, all that, and then, you know, talking about Michael Gableman as if he was competent and things of that nature, will Donald Trump go off the rails and call for the removal of the Speaker of the Wisconsin State Assembly by primary voters?
I'm with you on that one. I bet he does.
Folks,
I don't see how he can control himself.
Folks, you are listening to the Devils Advocates Radio Show. We got John Nichols. He's out stealing cars this afternoon, apparently.
Yeah.
I
ran away as soon as the alarm went off. So I don't think I'm going to get caught.
Well, let me ask you.
I apologize.
You know, beyond your
in the neighborhood here. Yeah.
You're a multifaceted guy, John Nichols. But let me ask you a little more on the political side.
All right.
Every single one of the gubernatorial candidates that was on the stage Sunday night had gone and bent the knee to Donald Trump at Mar-a-Lago, my understanding. Now, Trump's coming for Tim Michaels. You know, Becky Clayfish has got to be home heartbroken. That's in Waukesha County. That is literally her backyard.
He's coming into her territory, man. And it is clearly, this is a hit, right? A political hit. Endorsing Michaels was one thing. Coming to Clayfish's base on the Friday before the primary, knowing that Trump has now convinced Republicans that they shouldn't vote early, that they should all vote on primary day. So a late appearance actually matters, as it might not matter so much on the Democratic side. But coming in at this very late stage and making a strong pitch for Tim Michaels in the territory where, you know, Clayfish has to run her numbers if she's possibly going to have a chance of being nominated, this is clearly intended. You know, there are strategists who sat around and said, well, how do we ruin Rebecca Clayfish's chances of becoming governor, or at least becoming the Republican nominee for governor? And this is what they decided to do. It's hardcore stuff. And it's sort of classic Trump. He has chosen an inept, kind of bumbling candidate who, you know, barely clawed his way through the debate the other day. And who's got real residency issues. Like, he's so unfamiliar with where he lives that he couldn't even fill out his nomination papers. And Trump is going to, you know, go all in for this guy.
And could you believe, John, the reason why, as I understood it through, I think it was the reporting of Daniel Bice at the Journal Sentinel, it was all because Joel and Rebecca's daughter went on a Plutonic prom date with Hagedorn's kid and tweeted about it, and that was the sin that actually earned Michaels the endorsement from Donald Trump, if you believe the account being told at Mar-a-Lago from Michaels' team.
Why would that surprise you in any sense? how does that in any way seem out of character for Donald Trump? Right? It's like pathetic sub-high school stuff. The kids themselves, right, who went on a date, you know, they're far more mature than Donald Trump. Right. Donald Trump is, you know, he's stuck in around seventh grade, and his behaviors reflect that. And so I don't know if that's true. But what I can tell you is that Donald Trump waded into the Wisconsin race on behalf of a candidate who wasn't serious and wouldn't have been treated all that seriously if he didn't, A, have a ton of his own money to spend, and he's spending very freely, and B, have Donald Trump's endorsement. I mean, there's not a single thing by the baseline standard of what you would say you would want in a governor that Tim Michaels is presenting. Now, I'm not a big, you know, advocate for Rebecca Clayfish. You know, I disagree with her on pretty much every issue. But the fact of the matter is, she's been around, right? She has, you know, run campaigns. She has been active in politics. She's been highly engaged. And frankly, you know, she had the wherewithal to beat the Republican establishment back in 2010 when she forced her way onto Scott Walker's ticket. And so the bottom line is that by any measure, she's a more competent candidate than Michaels. But, you know, there's a very good chance that, Trump's small thumb on his small hand will be sufficient to tip the scale.
Folks, you're listening to The Devil's Advocate. That's John Michaels from The Nation and The Cap Times here in Wisconsin. John, we got about 2 minutes left in this segment. Why don't I get your sense of Merrick Garland and the DOJ's efforts to date? NBC News is reporting that Garland did an interview with Holt. Holt asked him that if Trump were to become president again, would that change your schedule or how you move forward or don't move forward? Garland said, quote, "I'll say again, we will hold accountable anyone who is criminally responsible for attempting to interfere with the transfer, legitimate, lawful transfer of power from one administration to the next." And that comes on top of reporting from ABC News that Mark Short, the former chief of staff to Vice President Mike Pence, as well as Greg Jacob, Pence's former chief counsel, who both testified to the J6, also testified before a federal grand jury. What's your sense of how the AG is moving forward on this on these cases, John?
Well, look, there's a way to understand Merrick Garland. He is a judge, not an attorney general, right? And it happened that because of some, you know, very unfair things that happened to him on his way to the U.S. Supreme Court,
right?
He ended up being a choice for attorney general. But he does not have the demeanor or the style of a classic AG, you know, some sort of a crusading figure who is willing to, you know, talk quite bluntly about what they're seeking to accomplish, because the attorney general is the executive of law enforcement in the United States. Merrick Garland doesn't see himself that way. He sees himself much more as a judge, so he's very quiet about what he does and very circumspect. It's torturous to watch him talk about, you know, going after wrongdoers, because he doesn't want to say anything that's too blunt or too bold. And so a lot of people, I think, are very uncomfortable with him as AG. They say, you know, boy, I don't know what he's doing. I don't have a clear picture of it. My sense is that he is indeed working with the career staff at the Department of Justice, working on some sort of prosecution that will target Donald Trump and his associates for their attempted coup. The question is how serious the charges will be and, you know, how far that inquiry will go. Will it go to actual charging? Will it go to actual prosecution?
John Nichols from The Nation. John, please stick around for one more segment. We will come back with John Nichols, our friend from The Nation magazine. We'll be right back.